Our first scripture passage comes from the Psalms, Psalm 145. Listen to God's word. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and rising up, all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands, satisfying the desires of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways, and the Lord is kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and all who call on his name in truth. God's word for us. And from 2 Kings, chapter 4. A man came from Baal-Shahaz, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left, according to the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make. There are many times in my life when I have felt like I was not enough. Like I didn't have enough money, I didn't have enough talent, I didn't have enough time. I wondered if I was a good enough pastor, if I was a thoughtful friend, and even if I was a helpful daughter. And sometimes it doesn't matter how hard I try, no matter how much work I did, I just never felt like I was enough. Maybe you have also felt this way in your life. Maybe you've had feelings like, if I only had a better job, I would be able to give more. If I had only practiced just a little bit more, I would have won that race. If I could just fix my marriage, everything else would finally fall into place. If I just knew how to build, maybe I could help at that Habitat house. We've all had moments like this, right? Where we list off the reasons why we don't feel like we're enough to fill the position, to do the work, to make it to the finish line, to handle whatever situation comes before us. This is where Elisha was. We used to know Elisha as Elijah's assistant. Elijah was that infamous prophet who called on God to light a wet sacrifice before the Baal worshippers. He sat by and watched as the other worshippers didn't know how to call on their God. And Elisha followed Elijah wherever he went. That is, until Elijah came to the end of his life. And Elijah was going to be taken up into heaven, and Elisha said, "Give me one gift. Give me your strength and your power and your wisdom to talk to God." And so as Elijah was being swept up into heaven, Elisha was given this new power. So now we find Elisha in the midst of these four miracles where he's trying to prove himself to be as worthy and as good as Elijah was as being a prophet. Each of the miracles is similar to the ones that Elijah performed. The first one is about a widow who's running out of flour and oil. And Elisha says to her, "If you feed me first, you will never run out of oil." And she's able to pour oil into every vessel that she owns. Never ending. The second one is about a woman who never was able to have a son. Her husband was getting old, and so was she. But Elisha promised her a child. The woman had a son. And many years later, he died unexpectedly, too young for his age. And Elisha brought the son back to life. The third one tells us and reminds us about how poor and hungry the people were. Elisha purifies a pot of stew because the people were so hungry. They had nothing else to eat. And then we come to this story, the story of a man who gives of his first fruits. And remember, we're many years into a famine at this point, and Elisha says to the man who's given all that he has, 20 loaves of bread and a few sacks of grain, and says, "Feed the people." And he looks at the 100 people sitting out there and says, 20 loaves of bread is not going to feed 100 people. And Elisha says, "Yes, it will, and there will be leftovers." He gives it to the people, and of course there's leftovers, just as he says. We know this story well, right? We've heard a similar one in the New Testament where Jesus takes 2 fish and 5 loaves and feeds 5,000 people, which makes this story seem a little pathetic, right? I mean, he only feeds 100 people. Jesus fed 5,000 people. It's a lot less. So it'd be easy to pass by this few verse story and say, "Oh yeah, Jesus was better." But if we do that, then we miss out on the point of what Elisha's miracle was really about. The miracle wasn't that he could feed 100 people, but that he saw God's ability to share and use a simple gift to perform a miracle. See, this man was just a regular person like one of us. And he took what he had, which wasn't much during a season of famine. He didn't know how much more food he would have for his family. But before he calculated, before he organized and edited and decided how much he would get, he first gave what he had to God. He gave first and took second. There's really 2 types of people in the world. The people who are takers and the people that are givers. Takers are people who continue to find themselves taking whatever God is going to give them and whatever the world can give them. They're going to take everything for themselves in hopes that that will be enough. But the truth is, it's never really enough for a taker, is it? In contrast, there's people that are givers that don't think so much about how much they need, but how much they already have. They think about what they have right now, and they know that is enough, and they give more away. For these people, it isn't about being enough or having enough. The primary response in everyday life is about giving. In a study done by 2 professors at Notre Dame, they share in their book The Paradox of Generosity how Jesus really was correct when he said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." The research shows that people who give are happier. They enjoy better health. They have a greater sense of purpose and satisfaction in their life, and they're just all around better. And the interesting thing about this study is they measure giving not just by financially giving, but volunteering, relationships, giving of organ donation, estate planning, and so much more. And it seems like happiness and satisfaction can be found in the outpouring of our gifts right here at the church. When we give in our mission projects at Andre House and UMOM, the stewardship pledges that we give help to support us, but also help us to find happiness and hope. And the relationships that we have with one another are everlasting and can make us feel once again whole. But what the study continued to show was that it was only approximately 2.5% of Americans who took advantage of this feeling of happiness from giving. On the other hand, there was 86% of Americans who gave less than 2% of all that they had. And what was odd about this was that their study showed that the American dream of happiness and hope and being fulfilled found in giving was the one thing that we didn't do hardly at all. Now, we think about this man, the story who gave of his first fruits. And it's hard to be that man, isn't it? It's hard to give without knowing if you'll have enough for yourself or for your family. It's hard when we worry about whether our gifts that we have will be enough to help another person. And we doubt that the talents we have will really be useful wherever we go. Well, a few years ago, I was on a mission trip with my church, and I was working with a five-year-old girl from our church, and we were painting doors. And she was teaching me how to paint. And let me tell you her instructions. She says, "Kelsey, you take your paintbrush and you dunk it in the paint can, whole hand, everything, all the way up to your elbow. Dunk your hand in. You take it out, shake it, and then you paint the door." Now, most of us know it's a great waste of paint to shake your paintbrush, although you do get splattered pretty good, and that's kind of cool when you're a five-year-old. The interesting thing is that it wasn't really about how great of a gift she had to paint. We got those doors painted, and they hung in our mission house, and the woman was grateful. Not because we were the best painters, but because we gave what we had. So often it's easy to forget that what gifts we have to give don't have to be the best. They don't have to be perfect. God expects you to give what you have. And maybe it's 20 loaves of bread. Maybe it's just showing up and waiting to see what God will do. God performs miracles every single day with all of you here. It doesn't require special talents. One of the most amazing gifts are the ones that happen right here with our mission teams, like the Open Table team that we're going to commission today. Open Table is a ministry where members of our congregation get together to help individuals in need shape and accomplish their goals so that they can be self-sufficient. And the miracles happen not because every person on the team has special talents or was specially trained to do this, but because of their willingness to show up. And then you see their relationships are formed and jobs are found and support is given. And the miracles of God's generosity continue to show up every single day. We get to choose every day whether we think we're enough, whether we believe that God has given us the gifts to do great work, or whether we're going to go on another crusade until we feel worthy and like we truly have something to give of ourselves. But the truth is, we'll always need a Savior. We'll always need someone else to help us. But what's important is recognizing that our Savior takes what gifts you have and uses them to perform amazing miracles right here each day. And our challenge is to be like Elisha and to see the 20 loaves of bread, the person that just showed up, the talents that we see in our congregation, and show how God abundantly provides exactly what we need for today. And that's enough. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.